Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I know we have in the offing somewhere, I think we've got Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. So in a moment, we will be bringing Ted on. And we'll be talking about a little project that we have planned along with Ted that I was discussing with some people today. Our number is 877-876-7445. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com with a backstage pass. You can watch a streaming video of our show tonight. Well, episode 17 of our podcast is up. And I said that it is part two of our pervert trilogy, although I don't know what part three is going to be.
Yeah, but it's pretty not a bad, it's pretty not a bad way.
Yeah. Pretty not a bad way to what?
To promote it.
Well, yeah. So part one of the pervert trilogy was Charlie LaFountain talking about kids should not bathe and should not wash and should basically stink, right?
Yeah, he said, I gotta smell like a dead goat or a corpse.
Yeah, like a corpse or a corp.
A corp? What's a corp?
Or a corpse.
Yeah. But just because it says C-O-R-P, like the Marine Corps, that means core.
Yeah, but why do you do it like that?
I don't know, man. Just that's how it's pronounced. Corp. So that's part. Now, part two of the Free Phil Hendry podcast pervert trilogy is up today. And that is Austin Amarca talking about a camp Broken Eagle or some jive. I don't know. But his idea of teaching children how to stay away from these dangerous people is by role-playing being a pervert. Basically, what he was saying was he's taking his pants off in front of these kids.
Yeah, so that makes him a perv.
Yeah, pretty much. But he doesn't see it that way. It's no, this is what it looks like. And the line from that, which is absolutely unacceptable, as he said, if I've got to drop my pants in every kindergarten in America to teach these kids what a pervert looks like, then I'm going to do that. And
man, that guy ought to be in jail.
Well, he'll be in jail if they ever catch him doing that kind of stuff. It's unbelievable, but unfortunately, tragically, really funny. All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Can we get, I don't know if we have Mr. Bell ready to go or not, but what we're going to be talking about with Ted Bell is this? Well, it's. I'll tell you this right away. I'll just give you the stuff up front. There is a planned series that we'd like to do with Ted Bell. Here's Ted. Is he ready?
Yeah.
Ted Bell is coming on from Ted's of Beverly Hills with us, folks. Hey, Ted.
Ted.
Yeah. Are we on the air?
No, hold on.
Okay. Hey, everybody, Ted Bell here from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and I'll tell you, it's always a great time at Ted's of Beverly Hills. The all-day roasted prime rib, we're still roasting it from last Sunday. It must be black by now. I'm kidding, of course. I would, we can joke about the food, you know, that we serve, Phil, because we do such a spectacular job at Ted's of Beverly Hills. We enjoy all of the customers. We have some long-standing customers. We have some new customers. We enjoy it all. Ted's of Beverly Hills.
All right, Ted, today I was talking with some friends, and we do want to get into the restaurant there.
Yeah, but give me the short version, will you?
Well, the short version is that the, and I don't know how much of the, I think this would interest the audience.
Let me just back up here for a minute. I know that I'm on the air. I know I'm on with the Phil Hendry program. I appreciate very much all that that you people out there. But I wanted to talk to Phil about this, and so for this is tough to say, I guess. But for the next few minutes, I don't really care what they think. Is there a better way of saying that?
Well, yeah, there might be a better way of saying that. I mean,
well, you lead the way. You tell me.
All right, maybe we could just say this is a. We're talking business, but I don't want to exclude the audience.
Well, we're wasting, as you like to say, we're burning daylight here worrying about them. Can you tell me what...
All right, in any event, folks, if I could just use the word folks...
Yeah, that'll include them.
So, we're talking about having this...
Well, what are we talking about? What's the bottom line here in terms of how many times we're going to see the name Ted in this series of in these vignettes that we're going to produce? Now, I know I'm going to be in all of them, and they're going to involve life at the restaurant, correct?
That's correct.
All right. How many times am I going to see Ted's of Beverly Hills in any given program?
That part I don't know, because...
Why is that?
Well, because you won't let us shoot at the restaurant. We have to go somewhere else.
Well, I don't, look. I can't have it. All right. I mean, you're talking about an operation. Phil, I love you, and I think that you're a great guy, but I can't.
I understand, but the thing that kind of hurt my feeling, didn't you allow access? There was another film crew there.
Yeah, I know. I told you about that.
Right.
Yeah, that was a big company, and I can't have you and your college intern friends. You know. And
you know something, Ted? If you want me to do this for you, then you might want to.
Are you going to lecture me?
No, but I mean, you're telling me my college intern friends. So in other words, we're going to do a production. It's going to be about your restaurant. We're going to be there. We're going to film it. And you think it's on the cheap?
Look, all I'm telling you is you can't use my restaurant.
Okay, so that means that we have to insert the name Ted's of Beverly Hills digitally.
What's that mean?
It means that we have to put in a computer-generated Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Oh, for God. Are you telling me it's going to be one of those things that's going to be, like, over my face? And
No. It'll look like it's on a sign.
Yeah, well, that's what they tell you. But then they wind up producing this thing. I don't know. I'm going to have to see it. But if I see it over my... You know how these logos, sometimes they're over the face. I don't want to come off with it. I'm going to tell you this right now, Phil. I'm looking to promote my restaurant. If it starts looking like that bear pit, and I say this...
It's not going to look like the bear pit.
I'm just telling you, if it starts looking like the bear pit commercial with that... And that gal, and the thing that bothers me, and it's one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, is I'm disturbed by... Well,
We're burning daylight.
Yeah, I know. That's your favorite... That phrase is starting to piss me off, too.
I'm sorry, but that's what we're doing.
All right. I am disturbed by a lot of things. All right, let me stick to business. I'll talk about that later.
Tell me what you're disturbed by.
I'm disturbed by how much I'm attracted to the woman in the bear pit commercial. Now, the reason why I say that is because she's very pretty. She is very... There's a big area, and I think you know the one I'm talking about. The rest of her is also very thick, and I linger over that commercial, and it bothers me. The reason why it bothers me is because I'm Ted Bell, and it's a difficult thing for people to understand, and I hope the ladies out there are not offended by this.
No, not much, Ted.
Well...
I mean, come on, man. You're talking about... First of all, we were going to be talking about this TV commercial that we're doing for you, and you're all of a sudden talking about how attracted you are to a big girl in this bear pit, by the way, folks, is a barbecue place here in the Los Angeles area. They do a lot of commercials. It looks delicious, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, you know, it does, and so does Ted's of Beverly Hills. Our place is delicious.
Yes, it is. You guys just aren't... You haven't done television before.
What do you mean I haven't done television?
You haven't done television commercials. In any event, this gal is a lovely brunette, and, you know what she looks like to me is one of those big, beautiful chicks that, you know, probably likes to eat barbecue right along with her man.
All right, so that's what I'm saying. That's not Ted Bell. And when we talk about Ted Bell, I'm not talking about myself like I think I'm something special. I'm talking about myself, Phil. You were using the term, not me. You used the term, not me, brand. You know what a brand is?
Yes.
Okay. Ted Bell is a brand. My name is a brand. All right? So when I am seen in Beverly Hills, I'm in my restaurant... I'm either seen with Marcy, who's my wife, and she is a very beautiful girl. Marcy's, she's in her mid-40s now, so she's not, and I'm talking about the brand now. This is the brand, if you want to say this is the brand talking, okay. Marcy is not the, she's not the piece of tail that she used to be.
All right, there's a better way of saying that.
Is that right? What is it?
She's older and, I don't know that there is a better way of saying that, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, okay, thanks a lot. So,
but she's not the piece of tail she used to be is not the way to say it.
The point I'm making is I've got to be seen with younger, very lovely girls. That's why we have our hostesses. That's why we have our cocktail waitresses. And, of course, we do have the Ted girl, the once-a-month Ted girl, that we do a calendar with, and so forth. I can't be seen, enjoying... a big woman. And
so don't do it.
I told you that I'm disturbed by the fact that I'm attracted to this big gal. And that has caused me most of the problems that we're having here with trying to get this television commercial done, because I want to do it I find myself wanting to do it like the bear pit. And I keep pulling away from that.
All right, well, let's talk about that. I don't know. That sounds like a psychological problem, if you want my honest opinion.
Well, you know, look at Phil. Advertising is psychology.
No, I understand that, but let's talk about that. We'll talk a little bit more here with Ted Bell as we talk about a TV commercial that we're going to help produce for him. And that is going to be, you know, on television. You'll be seeing you, Ted?
What?
Will we be seeing you?
Yes, I'm going to be in the commercial.
Okay. 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-7445, talking about... actually, what we're talking about is the bear pit or something.
Right, talk about the big lady.
Yeah, the big girl in that commercial. We'll be right back. 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
You know,
the Phil Hendry Show.
I don't like fat women. Not bad. I like fat women.
Welcome back here, 877-876, The Phil Hendry Show. 876-PHIL.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
Table three, darling. Hey, everybody, it's a busy night here in Ted's of Beverly Hills, as it always is a busy night here in Ted's of Beverly Hills. Come on down, get some of our great garlic bread. Get some of that delicious barbecue chicken.
Here at Ted's.
Well, you know where, huh? And that's what I'm talking about right there. Did you hear what I just said?
What?
I was pushing the barbecue chicken. Ordinarily, I would never do that. I would be pushing our steaks. I'd be pushing our prime rib. But because of this fascination that I have with this gal and with this bear pit, and I know that I'm giving them a commercial here. Basically, I'm giving them a national commercial here, talking about it.
Well, but I mean, that's not a bad thing. You're a restaurateur who has an admiration for another restaurant.
Well, but you see, that's just it. Not that I really have an admiration for that restaurant. It's that I have an admiration for the spokesperson they use, which is that lady. Now, you know, I don't want anybody to misunderstand me, because there are a lot of women listening to your program, Phil. A lot of the men that love those women are listening to the program. I am not, you know, a chauvinist pig or any of this kind of nonsense that you hear so much about, you know. I have a restaurant in Beverly Hills. I do try to surround myself in terms of my public appeal and my image. And I'm not Hugh Hefner, I have a restaurant, but I do try to have beautiful blonde women who have, you know, a certain kind of look and slender. When I originally saw the Bear Pit commercial, and I saw this gal, and I don't even know who she is, I don't know her name, but she's a brunette. She is a big girl. She's very pretty. She's got a big... this is where I have a hard time describing.
Okay. I mean, Rubenesque maybe is a good description.
She's bigger than Rubenesque. What I'm saying, and I want the ladies in the audience to understand this, I am very attracted to her, but I can't let anyone see that, because that's a bad... That basically turns what I'm trying to do at Ted's of Beverly Hills on its head. It's destructive. It's destructive.
It's destructive how? First of all, you're married.
Well, it's got nothing to do with me being married. Yes, I am married, and that's also a part of it, but I'm talking just in terms of the business. It's destructive for me to see a big butt, you know, with a big butt like that, and say, wow, I want that, when... That makes me look like just some guy slumming at the bear pit. I might as well walk into the bear pit after I got out of the cab of an 18-wheeler or something. I'm Ted Bell, and that's the thing that I'm trying to say. I'm Ted Bell. All right, Phil?
You know? Yes, you're Ted Bell. You're saying that in terms of the...
That is my calling card. I walk into any place in Beverly Hills, any place, I'm Ted Bell. I don't even have to present a card. I can just say I'm Ted Bell. And I'll tell you something right now, that's like I just said, jump, and they're all asking how high. Or I just said, dump, and they're asking more toilet paper. So,
That wasn't necessary at all.
I apologize, but you know, I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I understand the dilemma, but I'm trying to figure out what the question here. So you're having a personal...
No, I, the, what are you, are you saying that I'm not being clear? I'm telling you, Phil, and I'm telling your audience that I can't, that this Bear Pit, this restaurant, is bad for my business. And I don't want to have to spell it out, but I've got to find a way for those people to shut their business down and move out of the area.
You can't, you know, you, that's what I mean. You can't do that. Okay?
Why can't I do that?
Because, just because you are attracted to a woman that you shouldn't be attracted to, not for anything other than the fact that it ruins your image with blondes.
Not my image with blondes. The Ted Bell brand. The Ted Bell label. And I want to go to the Bear Pit, the pit, and I want to sit down and I want to buy her a beer. Look at, Ted Bell is the guy that's going to sit down and buy Jenna Elfman a martini. Ted Bell's the guy that's going to sit down and buy, you know, some of the great stars of the day. Jennifer Aniston and so forth. I don't know who they are. I haven't been to a movie in years. But the fact is, Ted Bell is...
Well, you see a lot of them coming into the restaurant, right?
Yes. That's what I do. Now, the Bear Pit, with these endless commercials, has induced me to want to go to their restaurant and order some beer and buy one for her. You understand?
So, is it changing your personality? Is it...
It's not. I don't know if it's changing my personality so much as it's just bringing something out of my personality that is destructive. So the answer is, close down that restaurant, move it to an area beyond the advertising radius of Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Now, that is completely unrealistic.
Why?
Well, I mean, I'm saying at first blush it sounds completely unrealistic.
I could have them, all I got to do is write them a letter and explain to them the impact they're having on my restaurant. You have to understand something, Phil. They are a barbecue place, I'm a steakhouse. So I'm going to do more money than them.
That's not necessarily true.
Why isn't it? I charge. Obviously, we charge more. We have people with more money.
They probably do a higher volume.
Oh, they probably do a higher volume. That's what you sounded like when you just said that. They probably do a higher volume. Did you hear that?
Okay, so why are you mocking me?
I'm mocking you because how do you figure that? When did you all of a sudden become a restaurant aficionado?
Because they're coming in with families. And they're coming to barbecue places. You get a lot of families.
We get families. We don't get every, excuse me for saying this, but I'm not going to accommodate, you know, some of these people. They come in with 9 kids. I can't do that. But we've got normal 3 kid families. See, what you're doing here is you're forcing me to articulate some policies.
Originally what you said was, because you're attracted to this large woman in the Bear Pit commercial...
But the bottom line here is that they need to move out of the area.
All right, what is their inducement? What are you going to say to them?
I explained to them... I thought I already said this. I explained...
No, you didn't.
I explained to them that they are severely impacting my ability to do business... And that I would like them within a reasonable amount of time, 60 days, 90 days, to move the primary operation out. And
what if the financial but you're going to have to pay them?
No, I don't understand what you mean. Pay them.
How can you tell a man to move his business?
You tell a man to move his business because his business is interfering with yours. Now either they can do it that way, or I can have the county. Or the city, and I can file papers saying that they are infringing on my business. That's how I do it.
There's nobody that's going to... it's not going to happen.
Whoa. All right. Let me know, Mr. Madlock, when you get time and to take another case, because I'd just love to talk to you. You're such a great lawyer. And
look, I don't have to be a lawyer, Ted, to know that you're going to have to go to the county of L.A. or you're going to have to go to the Diamond Bar, whatever that restaurant is, and say they are hurting trade, restraining trade.
That's right.
Okay. To file some kind of a restraint of trade complaint, that's you're going to have to prove that they're doing it.
I can prove they're doing it. They put that woman on TV, and after years, I've got a brand called Ted Bell. You're not seeing this as a brand. My brand is being infringed upon, and you of all people, Phil, all the screaming you do about copyright and trademark...
Well, I don't understand that.
Oh, get out of here. Yes, you do understand it.
All right, we're going to come back with some phone calls, too. Ted Bell at Ted's of Beverly Hills, he's being infringed upon by this big breasted woman on a TV commercial that he's attracted to, which ruins his reputation and image as a steakhouse guy who has slender blondes working with him. I don't know. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We will be right back.
You understand you're trying to be a pain in the ass about it.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You understand perfectly.
Phil Hendry.
You want to see the parrot.
Be looking for our new commercial, and it is going to be all Ted's of Beverly Hills, as I will fight this restaurant out there that has this big woman.
I don't know why you want to mention that.
Well, I beg your pardon?
I don't know why you mentioned that.
You know what, Phil? It's my commercial. I guess I'll do what I want to do.
No.
You know, my commercial?
Yeah, but I was...
My commercial, I'll do what I want to do. See, I don't... and I hate having to have these conversations with you like this. We're on the air.
Okay. Tell me again, and we're going to take a couple of phone calls here. Tell me again why you want this to... Why you want this restaurant, the Bear Pit, to move out of the area?
Because they're infringing on my brand. And
all right, and you mean...
What I mean by that is that the brand of Ted Bell is... you know, I'm Ted Bell. And I own a steakhouse, and I've got beautiful, blonde, slender girls working in the prime rib room. And as our hostesses, I don't have big, you know, big rear ends on them and anything. And they're not brunettes, and they're not these big rear-ended, big boob barbecue women. You know, I don't have, Phil, you got to understand something. I'm Ted Bell. I don't have a lot of girls working here with the big butt and the checkered shirt and a cowboy hat. That's not what goes. That's not Ted Bell. All right.
No, I know that's not Ted Bell, and yet you have been talking about that gal in that Bear Pit commercial. You said you're attracted to her.
Yes, but I'm trying to tell you that that's an infringement on my brand. The fact that I am attracted to her completely goes against what the public expects from me. The fact that I want to go there and eat there. Food, which I have no idea. I'm sure it's good, but I would prefer my own food. But I'll go there and eat their food just to meet her. That's also against the Ted Bell brand. The fact that I will go there, even if it means I've got to put on a greasy shirt and look like someone that lives out in Diamond Bar and go in...
Let's not insult people, okay?
Well, I'm trying to make the point that you wanted me to make. The fact that I want to go there... Climbing out of the cab of a 10-wheeler and walk in and buy her a beer is an infringement of my trademark. So all of that...
Yeah, but all of those things that you just said...
Can I finish what I'm saying?
Go ahead.
All of that is an infringement on the Ted Bell trademark, and therefore it must go. Get it out of my town, get it out of here, and I will go to the... If I've got to go to the ICC, I'll do that. If I got to go to the Interstate Commerce Commission... And
well, that's not an interstate issue, Ted, but...
Again, thank you, Andy Griffith. Thank you, Mad Luck. And
Can we talk about legal... I don't have to be an attorney. I know what the Department of Commerce does and what the ICC does. This is not an interstate issue.
I think it's a federal issue, and my attorneys will make that argument.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. So this is an infringement of trademark, the fact that you're attracted to this big gal.
You know, you're trying to make this, you're really trying to spin it so it's my fault, right?
Well, Ted, you're the guy that...
Did I decide? You're saying that I think I'm going to decide to get... I'm going to say, do you get an erection?
Will you, please, we're on the air.
Well, you're forcing me to say these things.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you...
That was involuntary.
All right, that may have been involuntary, but the fact is, you want to go out and buy her a beer, that's a decision that you make.
No, it is not. No, I'm trying to make a point, and I realize it's groundbreaking, But I'm trying to make the point that I have no control over the fact that I want a big, fat woman.
All right.
Hold on for a minute, okay? You got me.
Well, Ted, I didn't mean to upset you.
Yeah, well, you know, to say those words... Get away from me.
Yeah, but what?
Get away from me! I'm sorry, Bill.
Well, Ted, I don't want to upset you.
No, not much. Do you understand that I'm Ted Bell and I want it from a fat... from the barbecue gal?
Okay, and that's whose fault?
Again, I'm going to ask you, and you tell me if I'm wrong. Who makes the decision when a guy gets a pop tent?
I didn't hear that.
Who makes the decision when you get a pup tent?
Will you knock it off, please?
Oh, my God, you told me to say it.
No, but I didn't know what you were going to say. And let's grow up. And let's grow up, okay? Are you in the kitchen?
Yeah, I'm in the kitchen. I'm not going to talk this way in front of my customers.
Oh, but you'll talk that way on the air.
You know what, Phil? You really got to lighten up. I don't know how to say it. I wish there was a different way.
Let's go to Vernon. Hi, Vernon. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm listening to this guy, and I got to tell you, this is about as funny a thing as I've ever heard in my life.
You think it's funny, huh?
Yes, I do, sir. And let me tell you why I think it's funny. As Mr. Hendry so very clearly said, and I know the restaurant you're talking about, and I have eaten there many times, and the food is delicious. The girls that they hire as waitresses in barbecue places are going to have those big butts because that makes it look like they eat the food there.
In other words, the big rear end on them is going to make me want to do what? Eat. The only thing it made me do is want to eat dessert.
Well, it made you want to eat dessert. What?
Well, Mr. Hendry's going to get upset.
If it's dirty, if it's foul, if it's not for a family, no, I don't want to hear it.
Well, the gentleman is asking a question here, Phil. He said that, big-butted waitresses make you want to eat more. And I said it made me want to eat dessert out of what we're talking about.
Oh, I think I know what he means.
I don't have any idea.
He wants to put dessert on a woman's butt.
You are asking me a question.
So all of this has to do with your restaurant, how?
Well, hold on. I called in.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you mind letting the guy say something?
I appreciate that. Let me just say this. Mr. Bell, I got to agree with Mr. Henry here to this extent. I think you are blaming that restaurant, and you are actually the restraint of trade that's being counseled here. You want to restrain their trade simply because they had a waitress, as you said, that, you know, you...
Sprung one.
Yeah, you sprung it. And
okay, guys, forget about all of that. You got a rouse buyer is good enough.
All right.
I don't think that's adequate description.
Well, I do, and it's my show.
I mean, you got aroused by this big gal, and I know what you mean. I've eaten there, and they have women. Have you eaten over there?
No, I haven't. I want to.
All right, well, I can tell you this. If you think she's hot, they got a restaurant loaded with them. That's what serves you the drinks. That's what serves you your food.
That woman?
They got women look like her. And
that, to me, again, Phil, and I have to point this out, that makes me want to go there now. I want to just leave this restaurant. And I want to leave this restaurant behind and go there and just drink beer after beer after beer, waiting for her to get off, off of her shift, which I know she's probably not even there.
So you have you've got a real problem, but all I'm trying to say here, Phil, is I agree with you
Well, you agree with me that this guy's got no right to shut their restaurant down. But what I'm hearing here now is almost like a psychological a psychological problem.
Here we go again. If he's not Matlock, he's Dr. Kildare or whoever. If he's Dr. Slidinger, whatever that woman's name was,
Laura Schlesinger.
Yeah, is that what you are now, Phil? Because,
Again, it's a free country and I can comment.
Well, you can comment all you want. And you can say this and that and something else. You've been Matlock, you've been Dr. Laura, Glasslinger.
Schlesinger.
All right. And when are you going to be George Washington? You got that in your bag of tricks? Or Napoleon? You put on the hat and put the hand in the jacket. And that's when they come with a butterfly net. Okay?
The only people that are coming with a butterfly net are for you, Ted.
And why? How do you figure that?
Oh, come on, man. You're talking about having a restaurant shut down, go to the Interstate Commerce Commission because they're infringing on your trademark. And what's your trademark? Ted Bell, and he's getting aroused by a big fat lady in a commercial. And
well, you know, and it's affected the commercial that we want to do because I sent you over the storyboard that I want to do.
I know. You want to do a commercial just like the Bear Pit.
Yes.
What's wrong with that?
I got a steakhouse here in Beverly Hills. I don't have a barbecue place with a fat girl.
Don't yell at me.
I'm sorry, Phil, but...
Don't ever do that.
I got a steakhouse in Beverly Hills. Is that better?
Yes.
I don't have some barbecue dump. Excuse me for saying that.
Let's take another phone call here.
Oh, yeah, let's take another phone call. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, is there something that you more you want to say?
No.
Yeah. 877-877-877-876-PHIL.
877-876-PHIL. How's that feel, Phil?
Oh, well, I can hang up on you.
Well, I can hang up on you.
Okay, hang up on him.
Okay, hang up.
But you want me to get him back on?
Only if he's going to behave like a human being, all right? And that's his tough luck if he got aroused by the fat lady in the Bear Pit, and she's not fat, you know, the big girl in the Bear Pit commercial, and he wants a woman with a big butt, and all of that is fine and dandy. There's only one problem. He hasn't articulated to me how he's legally going to make this case and how he's going to get their restaurant shut down. So far, what he's been doing is a 45-minute commercial for the Bear Pit. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. Episode 17 of the world-famous free Phil Hendry podcast is up and running right now. Just hit the podcast banner on our homepage and download episode 17, Monday, episode 18. And I don't think there is a part 3 of our pervert trilogy, although maybe. We'll be back here with more from Ted Bell on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. On the line with me is Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we're talking about Ted's of Beverly Hills and the Bear Pit and the new commercial that Ted is having produced. Let's get on out to Ted's of Beverly Hills, where Ted is.
Ted's of Beverly Hills, steakhouse,
I don't know.
Come on down.
Hey, everybody, this is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Hey, listen, we've got the greatest steaks, the juiciest Kansas City steaks. We've got them all. Big, thick filet mignon, longhorns, 42-ounce porterhouse. I'm talking about the Bear Pit only because, you know, we don't want them to begin to ruin our brand. And I know that, you know, a lot of what we're talking about is,
Well, I told you it was going to be tough for people to understand.
Yeah, I know, but one of the problems here, Phil, and again, I have to, you know, again, I've got to blame you because, and I don't like doing that, but if you just would have let me just say, I couldn't get the words out of my mouth of what, the way, of the words that I want to say.
And I got to move the show along.
Yeah, well, you move the show along to the point where I stumbled over myself. The point that I'm making here is this. The Ted's of Beverly Hills brand has been damaged by the big... The large breasts on the woman, and just the big...
This woman that you're attracted to.
Well, you didn't want me to say that.
I don't mind just... Where are you, man? I can't... You know, it's driving me nuts with all of that noise and stuff.
I'm in the prime rib room. Turn the TV down. Hey, Oscar, turn the TV down. I don't care if they got a ball game. What is it?
Poker.
Who is it? The Kevin Pollak?
Yeah, World Series of Poker.
Oh, they got the World Series of Poker on.
We're on the air. Do you mind?
Wow. Okay. Turn it out. Turn it off.
I did.
You turned it off before I told you to turn it off, though. I got a problem, Phil. Hold on.
Hey. Hold.
No, just a second. Why did you turn that off before I told you to turn it off? Don't ever do that. All right, I'm back. Okay. Don't have a panic, Phil.
All right. 877-876-7445. So what we were talking about is your brand is being damaged. This is no fault of yours.
I told you, how do you, you keep walking into it. I told you, I can't control springing a pop.
Again, I carry, if you're saying something dirty.
I'm not. I said I can't control if I'm going to spring the tent. Oh, listen to this. Oh, God.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Grow up, Ted, okay? Grow up. If your son or your wife are listening right now, they would be shocked. You know what, man? I really, when I get off the air, I'm going to come over for a drink. And I'm going to kick your ass in the parking lot in front of everybody.
Is that right?
And that's right.
You just threatened me.
Yeah, well, no, I didn't. I'm not serious.
No, you threatened me.
I'm not serious. I just wanted you to get pissed so you'd stop going, 877-876-7445. Let's go to Karen. Hi, Karen. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Oh, Phil, I am having such a good time this evening. Mr. Bell, how are you, sir?
I'm very good, thank you.
Phil, I called you last night, and I get such a kick out of you. We really do. And I want to thank you for your show.
Thank you, dear. Have you got a comment for Ted?
Do you want to talk to me?
I do. I want to talk to Ted, but I don't want to let a moment pass without letting you know, Phil. We have such a good time with you. Okay, Mr. Bell.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Bell, my name is Karen Deauville, and I live in Indianapolis, Indiana. But we're coming to California because my husband and I take a vacation every summer. We're coming out with our niece, and her name is Doreen. And I have to tell you, Phil, and I want to say one other thing. Can we come to see your show? Do you do that?
I really don't. I don't, but...
Oh, you know, Herb is going to be disappointed. But Ted...
Yes, ma'am. Ma'am, I'm Ted Bell, and this is my segment, and you talking to Mr. Hendry about his show. You can do that.
Oh, all right. Okay. I understand. Now, Doreen's going to come with us. We always come to California. We always stay in Beverly Hills. We love the Beverly Wilshire. Okay?
Yes. Beautiful hotel.
We stay there. We get a suite. Now, Doreen is... And you know what we used to say, Phil? We used to... When I was a girl, we'd say big bone. You know what that is?
Big bone... No. Don't. Please don't say big bone, because that means that she's got a wide, bony, you know...
Oh, I know. I got the bottom. The big bottom, but it's flat.
Yeah.
Okay, no, that's not what my... Doreen is a big gal, and she's got what her father, my brother, calls the big... what does he say about the...
Called the big melon?
The big melons.
Okay, let's, you know...
I'm sorry. Okay. I know. I'm stepping over my bounds. My husband, he's like waving his finger at me. I'll be off in a minute, Herb. My husband's waving his finger at me. Don't you do that.
I know what you mean, so tell me a little bit more.
Yes, so would you like to meet her? Because she's very pretty. I'd be happy to send you a picture of her.
Well, first of all, let me just say something to you, Karen. Very nice of you. I'm Ted Bell.
No. I know that, and I don't want to run afoul of the... Is it your... It's your copyright. Right?
Well, it's my trademark, yeah. But if you've got me on the air admitting that I want to meet the big butt on your niece from Indiana, man, that just drives my image right into the sewer.
Oh God, I don't want to do that. Did I do something wrong, Phil?
No.
I don't, because I've been listening to you and Herb, my husband, and he's been listening. Mr. Bell, we're in your corner. We are, and you know why? Because anything that Phil... We love Phil, and we love you.
No, I get that. I understand that.
If Phil has anyone on his show, we love.
No, I understand that. The obsequiousness is starting to... I'm beginning to... I can taste a little vomit. I'm just tasting some spit up.
And I don't know what that is, but I just want to let Phil know we love you, Phil, as usual. We're not going anywhere. You have two committed fans here.
I'm very, very grateful to hear that, Karen. Thank you.
Okay. And her name is Doreen. And her father said she's got the, you know, the big ones.
Yeah, no, I heard that. What about, I can't, Mr. Hendry won't. Yeah.
Why is everybody whispering tonight?
Well, I don't, you know, Phil, I called your show last night, and I was whispering a little bit because I was talking about, I forget what it was, but I'm talking to Ted now about, do you want me to speak up?
Yes, would you speak up and just say what it is you're trying to say?
All right. Ted, my niece, Doreen.
Yeah, I know about your niece, Doreen, and she's got the Henry.
She's got the big one, the big boobs.
What, I'm sorry?
She has the big, my daughter, she's got big boobs. Oh, Herb, shut up.
Say it on the radio.
Okay.
Yeah?
And she's got a lot, she's got the big, what is it that with Mr. Henry, you say it all the time and I love it. Oh, she's got a big backyard.
Oh, the big backyard.
Yes. A lot of junk. What is it, Herb?
A lot of junk in her trunk.
Okay, let's grow up here.
Phil, I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's.
So she's got it going on, huh?
No, Phil, I am so sorry, honey. Okay, yes, she does. And she's single. She just got rid of her husband. And kids? Kids. I don't want to talk. Well. A little coffee in your milk.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay. Thank you very much.
No, I'm sorry. We love you. Ted.
Yeah.
We're going to come to your restaurant.
Yeah, okay. Bring your niece. But please, the kid.
Well, but he's a beautiful, but he's mixed race. He's mixed race.
Yeah. Got a little bit of coffee in the milk.
I know Herb. I already know. He's mixed race. Phil, we love you.
Thank you very much. Got to get going, okay?
All right, Phil, goodbye. You have 2 committed fans here in Indianapolis.
Wow. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Henry, I blame you for that.
Wait a minute. There, Bud, turn that off, man.
A Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Oh. Come on down.
Well, if you guys want to start all over again.
You want me to start all over again?
Yeah, I think so. If you don't mind starting all over again, because all I heard.
Hold on. We'll start all over again. If I told you once, I told you a million times, Bud, to get that iTunes turned off, okay? All right, here we go. Starting all over again, it is time for the show, and here is Mr. Bell. Woo!
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
All right, look, I don't want to be a complainer, but I just heard the phone. I heard a phone pickup sound effect. What?
You heard a what?
I heard the phone.
At Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
What's the problem?
The problem is I heard a phone pickup sound effect.
I think he said he heard the phone.
Is that Ms. Gray? Is that Martha Gray?
Yes, it is.
Would you mind terribly not saying anything? Could I just talk to Mr. Henry for a moment?
Well, you're on the air right now.
Could I just talk to Mr. Henry for a moment?
Margaret, if you don't mind, let me...
This is the am I not a...
Hold on. What's the problem, Ted?
I heard a phone pickup sound effect.
You're the sound of a guy picking up a phone.
What does that mean?
Here, I'll do it. Hold on. Like that.
So what if you heard a phone pickup sound effect?
It sounds phony baloney. Now do it again.
All right, Ted, we have...
Do it again. Do it again. Am I the sponsor on the program? Do I not pay for the, part of the segment of this program? Do it again.
All right, we're going to do...
Wait, hold on. I just heard hands on a telephone sound effect. What is it with you guys? Why don't you run a tighter ship down there, okay? Now I heard a phone pickup sound effect.
What do you mean hands on the phone?
Just so you can hear that somebody holding on the phone.
What?
Then he heard somebody holding on the phone.
Yeah, it's not here. I'll give it. Here's what it sounds like. Like that. And I hear that all the time. What is it with you, man? You used to run a really clean show. Now all of a sudden, I don't know.
When did I run that clean show? Like about 10 years ago?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. Now what do you want me to do?
I want you to do it again. Open the show clean, well-produced, the way I used to hear it 10 years ago.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Mr. Ted Bell.
Beverly Hills. We've got a great, great, wonderful seafood platter. I didn't tell you about our seafood platter. It is a great seafood platter. The seafood itself is good, but the platter's better. We want to put our meat in your mouth. I'm sure I don't mean to do jokes, but I've got to do something to sort of lighten the mood, Phil, after a very rough start here. I'm Ted Bell, and it's great to be with everybody. And here is, of course, your host for this evening, Phil Hendry. Phil, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Ted.
Just to let people know, in keeping with the new formatics of my appearance on the program, it's going to be more of a 50-50 presentation because I was talking with David G. Hall, and he agreed with me that Phil should at least give it the opportunity to work. That is, he and I 50-50, right down the middle, and we will sort of separate the duties of the host of the program. And I hope, Phil, that you agree, because I know that I think it's going to work very, 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 you know, a lot better than you do.
I thought it was working fine the other way, but if you want to do things this way, that's okay.
All right, Phil. No reason to get... We want the audience to enjoy the program. The reason why I'm on Phil's program tonight, and let me move away from the kitchen, because a lot of you people know, I own Ted's of Beverly Hills. It's a great steakhouse here in Beverly Hills, California, but I'm also a very big contributor to the Phil Hendry Show as a sponsor, and I'm also very concerned about the issues of the day, very concerned about the news of the day, and I want people to sound off on some of these issues, and certainly I want to contribute. One of the things, Phil, that I wanted to talk about tonight is the recent election of President Obama and the reaction to the election of President Obama by a great many people. Now, I am a businessman. I am a successful businessman. Now, what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means that if I say that Obama being elected President of the United States is no sweat off of my blank-blank, let's call it, then it shouldn't be for any other businessman listening right now. Now, please understand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about some multi-billionaire international corporation, chairman of the board, guys that have more money than God, and there are very few of those. Look, there's a lot of guys that are wealthier than me, but not that many, because to be wealthier than Ted Bell means that you have to be an international, I would say an international business mogul, as opposed to someone that is drawing his bread, drawing his, getting his money from the United States or from a smaller market, shall we say. So that's point number one. Point number two is this. If I say, as a successful businessman, that Barack Obama being elected president of the United States of America is no sweat off of my...
You're saying blank, blank. I think we know, sort of.
What do you mean blank, blank?
Because there's two words to it. There's two words to it.
Is it important for us to know?
Is it important for you to know? I mean, I'm not going to say it because I'm a gentleman and I'm not going to use the words on your show. Is it important for you to imagine what I'm saying? Yes. But I'm not going to use the words because I don't want children to imagine what I'm saying, and I don't want women to imagine what I'm saying.
But you want men to imagine what you're saying.
Exactly. And what I'm saying to all of the men out there and to all the business people, whether they're male or female, if I say Ted Bell of Ted's of Beverly Hills, a successful businessman, a man who makes a lot of money. You know, people, I don't even know where to begin. I make one hell of a lot of money. And if I'm fine with Obama being elected president, reelected as president, and if I say it's no sweat off of my... In many ways, I wish I could tell you.
All right, okay, so fine. Why is it important to keep using that phrase, no sweat off of my blank blank?
Because it's very descriptive, and I think we need to motivate a lot of our business people out there. And that brings me to my final point. If you think I'm kidding, I'm not, Phil. You can check with Rick Dooley, who works at the, who works over there with the LEG guys. And they have a social platform they're working on. You can check with him. We're starting up something called Quitter. Quitter. It's not Twitter. It's Quitter. And Quitter is for everyone that says they can't hire and they can't spend and they can't do any business with Obama as president. That is your Twitter. It's called Quitter. And you sign up over there. And you can talk with all the other losers
that are, you know, similarly motivated.
All right, so if I could.
Go ahead.
What we have here is a...
what we have here is a failure to communicate. Remember the movie with Paul Newman?
Yeah. Strother Martin.
Yeah, what we have here is... No, what we have here, Phil, is my statement of... Not even my statement of purpose. This is my statement, period. If I, Ted Bell, a very successful restaurateur in a very competitive restaurant market, which is Los Angeles, California, to wit, Beverly Hills, California, to wit, Dayton Drive, Dayton Way, Rodeo, all of those streets. If I say that I have got no problem with Obama being elected president of the United States, it's no sweat off of my...
All right, Ted, let's just...
You see what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. Then if it shouldn't be any sweat off of any other businessman...
Not anybody listening to this show, no.
And what does that mean?
It means that I dare say that anyone listening to this program may be as successful as me in terms of income, although I doubt it, but there isn't anybody more successful. So let's take, for instance, some guy that drives a truck or whatever. It's a very honorable profession. I'm not saying that a guy shouldn't drive a truck, but I am saying that if that guy has got a problem with Obama because he thinks it's going to affect his ability to make a living, and I'm telling you that no, it isn't, I'm telling you that you need to rethink the situation. Either rethink the situation, get out there and get some business done, or go over there and join Quitter. And you can talk to Rick Dooley.
Now, he's not related to anybody. You know, we have a couple of Dooley.
No, he's not. This is he's the son of, I'll tell you who he is. He's the son of, he's the stepson, rather, of Bob Frangipone, who had started the social media tracking that they do over there. And it was his idea to come up with he threw in with the guys that started Twitter, and then he came over with these guys. And that's when I said, have you thought about Quitter? And he said, well, what do you mean by Quitter? I said, this is the place where all the losers hang out that are complaining about Obama.
All right, well, here's the thing. It sounds to me like one big fat political statement. It's one big fat satirical statement against Romney, conservatives, and anybody that was opposed to Obama.
Well, I get it, maybe, but I'm being dead serious. I'm being dead serious. Go over there, join Quitter, and start talking about how you can't get any business done. Look, I'm not in love with Obama. What I am in love with is making a living. And I'm not going to let that guy being elected president keep me from making a living. And when I heard what you said on the air the other night, that this whatever her name is, this Ingrahammer, or whatever her name is...
Laura Ingram.
Yeah, she said that she knows people that aren't hiring because... you know what? I think that she's not telling the truth. Okay? You were very kind to her. I think she's flat telling a lie. I don't think she knows anybody that isn't hiring. I think what she isn't seeing is the big picture, which basically means... She's not getting out of her apartment at night. She needs to see the big picture, as in walk out the front door and stand on a street corner and smell the coffee. Take a look at the flowers. Maybe there aren't any flowers blooming, and maybe nobody's brewing any coffee. But smell something, look at something, anything.
All right, look, we'll be right back here.
Yeah, we'll be right back. But let me just...
Hold on, Ted. We'll be right back. Ted's of Beverly Hills is the location. Ted Bell is our co-host tonight, talking about Quitter. And talking about Obama and the election of Obama is no sweat off of his blank blank. I suspect that at some point in the evening, we're going to find out what that is.
Well, if it is as crude as he indicates that it is, I hope I don't.
Well, something tells me we're going to. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I am fired up. I'm motivated. No sweat off of my...
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We're back.
Steakhouse,
yeah.
Come on down.
Hey, come on down to Judge of Beverly Hills. Listen, we have got that prime rib slow-roasted all day on Sunday. As a matter of fact, we're still slow-roasting it from Sunday. And today's, what, Thursday? You know how good it's going to taste tomorrow when it's black, charcoal black? I'm kidding around.
Well, you were uncharacteristically—you're uncharacteristically self-effacing this evening.
Well, you know, Phil, I'm feeling good. I am. I'm feeling very good.
Yeah, you're talking about your food. It's going to be charcoal black.
I'm kidding around. Anybody that's ever had the Ted Bell prime rib, they know that I'm kidding. Anyone that's ever had our prime rib, they're not even listening to my commercials anymore. They don't need to listen to my commercials anymore. All they do is they wake up in the morning and they pray, and I say this, Phil, with the greatest of sincerity, they pray to whatever God they pray to that they'll make it to the end of the day so they can at least see the front doors of my restaurant if, in fact, they don't live to walk through them. Now,
well, what does that mean?
What does what mean?
If, in fact, they don't live to walk through them.
What if they have a heart attack? That's all I'm saying. You know.
Boy, are you dramatic. All right.
What is dramatic about that? I have great pride in my restaurant. We prepare great food, and I've seen generations of people grow up on our great food, and we're very proud of that. Okay, I feel like Danny Aiello in Do the Right Thing as he sits there and he looks out and he sees, well, I shouldn't have brought it up because it's...
Yeah, Danny Aiello in Do the Right Thing, and he looks out and he sees what?
I'd rather not say, but he's very proud of the food. And
because he has an Italian, he has a pizzeria in a black neighborhood.
Okay, look, Phil, I'm the sponsor.
No, I understand, but, you know, Ted, you're the guy that you sort of, you know, if you will, you back your Cadillac into these mud holes. And
oh, isn't that colorful? I back my Cadillac. Phil, I want to tell you something. From the bottom of my heart, I appreciate and I love you, but I don't think you really understand the finer points. Of the finer points of what it is I'm saying, I'm articulating business principles and business models here. We are in the middle of a recession, yes. We've had a president be reelected, yes. Is he a president that some people don't like? Yes. Is he a president that some people think is a socialist? I guess. Are you talking to a man that cares? No. Are you talking to a successful American businessman? Yes. Does this successful American businessman care if Obama's president? No, I do not. And any businessman listening to me tonight that does is a loser. All right? Now, did I make myself clear? Now, if you say to me that that's a real negative attitude and I'm being, you know, Danny Aiello, do the right thing. And
well, the two things are not the same. You were making a comment about Danny Aiello in his neighborhood and he's looking out and he sees all the... I know what you were thinking.
You're like, I'm getting...
You're getting what?
I don't like you painting me as some kind of a racist. I'm not a racist.
Well, then why did you pause when you said Danny Aiello as he looks out the window and he sees, well, never mind?
Because it was a rundown neighborhood. It was a rundown neighborhood.
Oh, sure.
It was a rundown neighborhood and he could have had a bed. It would be like me having a steakhouse in... Well, I better not, but...
What?
It would be like me having a steakhouse in St. Louis. You know, it's just...
Oh, boy, you... You know, I bet you they've got some real good steakhouses in St. Louis. Oh,
sure. I'm sure they do. Let's do that again.
Oh, sure.
I'm sure they do. How'd that sound?
Fantastic.
All right, that's just great.
All right, Ted Bell joining us here. Our number is 877-876-7445. Let's get more, Ted, now into your philosophy. Number two, before we do that, I want to mention Margaret is here, and...
I got no problem with Margaret being there. I just didn't want her... right off the bat, meddling in some technical discussion.
I don't meddle in technical discussions, Ted.
Yeah, Margaret, yes you do, okay? Yes you do. And
I do not meddle in technical discussions. I was asking a simple question, that's all.
Well, I wanted to get through the opening of the program without hearing her asking questions that would sidetrack us.
I tell you what you do. You let me handle that, okay?
There you go, bingo.
Bingo. Okay, great. Thank you. You handle that, Phil. Thank you very much, Margaret, for pointing out that Phil will handle that. And thank you once again, Phil, for allowing her to point that out to me. And I stand here, and I'm toweling off once again like I might as well be the woman in one of those movies. I don't understand why I'm treated this way.
You know, there's a lot of people here looking at each other with quizzical looks on their faces.
Quizzical about what?
About the last toweling off like I'm the woman in one of those movies.
Well, if you want, I'll explain it.
No, you don't have to explain it. I understand what that means. But what you might want to explain, not now, but somewhere down the road, is what kind of a mind you have to come up with a comparison like that.
I feel humiliated.
Yes, that's right. I know you feel humiliated, but to feel humiliated to that extent. All right. Obama is elected president. You made a point. It's a pretty good point. As a businessman, you are not afraid of Obama as president. Now, you mentioned that there have been people on radio and television who have been saying that businesses don't want to hire, businesses...
yeah, exactly.
They don't want to... They're laying people off with Obama being elected. There's, I don't know that that's widespread. That might be just one person's opinion. But you're not.
No, of course I'm not. I'm a businessman, a successful American businessman. I only know one way of making money, and that is going out and aggressively pursuing new customers. That's what I do. That's what Ted Bell does, okay? See, that's why I'm Ted Bell. I started this business after my father just about wrecked it back in the early 1980s. I have built this up with my bare hands from almost nothing. Okay? We've had Reagan. We've had Clinton. We've had Daddy Bush. We've had Little Bush. We've had all kinds of Bush, if you'll pardon me being a little crude. But the fact, and we've got Obama. And through it all, we have enjoyed success as an American business. And you want to know why? Because we don't sit there like losers worrying about who's president of the United States. Now, for all of your listeners who are business people and who are... whatever you want to call it, Phil, or the, you know, you're drawing in the horses, you know, you're cutting back on business, you're downsizing, or whatever those terms are, then you go over to our new website called Quitter, you register, get an account, get online over there, and talk to all the other losers that you're going to be talking to over the next several years as you, you know, complain about Obama.
Now, what was it that prompted this?
Well, I'll tell you, Phil.
And hold that thought while we, you know, we have to come back from a break, okay?
You just asked me a question. What?
Yeah, hold that thought and we'll come back from a break.
Well, do I?
No, you don't. Just hold that thought. We'll come back from a break.
God.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, Ted Bell. His new website is called Quitter for all the losing business people out there that are worried about who president, you know, who's president. And all of the money he's going to make, whether it's Obama or Romney. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Goodbye.
Can I just...
No, just wait until the break.
Very unfair. Very unfair. You feel like a loser.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Wait, what?
Well, I heard the phone bump on the table, and I...
Will you stop, you know, stage managing the production on this show, please?
Are you trying to bring me on after I hear a phone bump on a table? You had dead air after the news break there. You know, what I would like, Phil, is for you and your crew to at least pay attention. Pay attention. Hello? Hello?
Go ahead.
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
All right, I hope. You know what?
Steakhouse. Come on down.
You know, Phil, if you got a 13-year-old daughter, I think you did once, I hope she is possessed by a demon in the same way Linda Blair's character in The Exorcist was, and I'm being very serious.
Here at
Ted's, you know what I'm saying?
We want to put our meeting.
I don't have a 13-year-old daughter anymore.
But you did, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Well, I hope she is... I'm sorry to say this, Phil. It's a very hard thing to say, but you have made me angry tonight. Because the production value on your radio show is at an all-time low. I'm hearing phone bumps. I'm hearing hand, you know, the hand,
What, make a hand job?
Who said that? What?
Will you shut up, bud?
Shut up out of hand!
He didn't say what you thought he said, you dirty, filthy animal. He didn't say that.
What did he say? I demand to know.
You're not going to know. We've already chastised him.
But that's what I'm hearing here, okay?
But let's get back to this comment. You hope my 13-year-old... I don't have a 13-year-old daughter.
I know that, but you did, didn't you?
When she was 13.
Yes. So I hope she's possessed by a demon in the manner that Linda Blair's character was possessed in The Exorcist. And I hope it costs two priests their lives! That's how angry I am.
Well, that's about as crazy... and as mentally deranged a statement as I've ever heard.
Well, Phil, I've been pushed to it by the crap can production values on your show, by the fact that I'm not being understood. I'm making...
But the production values on my show aside, I don't think anybody has tried to misunderstand you on this program. I have heard what you're saying. You think that business people that do not that don't go out and aggressively act because the wrong president was elected, you're calling them losers.
Absolutely.
Okay. And you've started a quitter account for them. Not Twitter, but quitter.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I'm simply saying to you, if you can get past the fact, and by the way, you know, and I'm even getting past the fact that you wanted my 13-year-old daughter possessed by a devil, even though she doesn't exist anymore.
What do you mean she doesn't exist? Boy, this is a good one. She doesn't exist, huh? Your own daughter?
She's 21 now, man.
I heard you, Phil. Are you hearing me?
Ted, he...
Could you please tell her to shut up, please?
You are not going to tell me to shut up. I can assure you, you are not going to tell me to shut up.
I'll say it again. Shut up.
Would you like me to come into Ted's of Beverly Hills tonight and bury the heel of this shoe, a high heel, in your eyeball? Would you like that?
Are you heard her? Okay. And I want a witness. You heard her, Henry. I'm holding you as a witness. Do you understand? Are you there?
Yeah.
You heard what she said.
I also know she's not serious.
Oh, is that right? So if I come walking into your studio later on and I got a high heel hanging out of my face...
Do me a favor, will you, Margaret?
I'll go to the toilet.
Go to the toilet.
Go to the toilet?
That's none of your business, you pig.
Okay, Ted, she's gone. Now let's calm down, okay? My daughter is 21. She's not 13.
I know. God, please, dear Jesus, I know. If there is Jesus, I'm not a Christian. I wouldn't be a Christian if he was gold-plated off that cross. But by God, I'll convert tonight. I'll convert tonight if I could just get this idiot to understand that...
Okay, you call me an idiot? That's it.
Wait a minute, don't you dare...
So nobody gets to do that, okay?
Yeah, but you came on. You're loaded for bear.
Yeah, I think you were ready to fight with him, though.
What was I saying that was so terrible?
Yeah, I don't know. You just seemed like you had an attitude. I mean, Ted was right. Production value on this show is in the tank. And I do hear a lot of hand phone noise and slamming down, all that kind of stuff. And it didn't used to happen.
Yeah, what's going on with the show anyway?
Well, you idiots are helping me run it. Okay? And I'll tell you something else. When he called me an idiot, that was it. You know, he can say all he wants about my daughter being possessed by a demon. He can sit there and pray to God. Yeah. I mean, this guy is sitting there. He's offending everybody in my audience, including Christians, when he says, Jesus could be gold-plated down off the cross. I wouldn't be a Christian. However, you know, yes, he's gone. Margaret, come in.
I don't let anyone talk to me like that. I know Ted. We've known Ted for many years. Frank and Ted are friends. But if Ted Bell thinks he speaks to me that way, yes, he will. He'll come wandering in here one night because he's got nothing else to do. He doesn't want to go home to his beautiful wife and son because Ted is almost bipolar. He's antsy. He can't go to bed before 5 a.m. He wanders the streets at night looking for kicks, looking for laughs. And as you know, Phil, sometimes he finds his way over to this studio.
Yes.
Well, one of these nights he'll wander over here and you'll notice a high heel hanging out of his eye socket. Thank you.
Yeah, will he know it's there?
Just let it sit where I left it, all right?
Yeah, but I think they're asking a good question. Ted obviously would know that he had a high heel.
Well, all right, so he knows there's a high heel hanging out of his head and he'd take it out.
And he still shows up here?
Yes. What is your point?
My point is, if he had a high heel hanging out of his...
Hold on. Why are you so nervous tonight?
I'm not nervous.
Yes, you are. But if you...
Yeah, you kind of did do that.
I'm not nervous. I'm talking to Margaret. And I said, if Ted Bell had a high heel hanging out of his eye socket, and he took it out...
Why are you talking to me as if I'm stupid?
Because you're talking to me as if I'm stupid.
Right there. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did. Mr. Henry...
What did I do?
You went, if. Do you have a migraine headache right now?
Yeah, remember the lady that had a migraine and she talked like she was wrecked?
Yeah, that one lady, she talked like half her head was wrecked.
She talked like half her head was wrecked. That happened to be a migraine. The lady was reporting on some sort of, I think it was the Grammys. She was reporting for a local Los Angeles station. The poor child had some kind of a migraine that affected the neural pathways of her brain briefly. And she...
Thank you very much, Dr. Frankenstein, but we're not interested in what happened. Do you remember?
Yes, I remember her.
Thank you.
I remember her. Bud was asking me about her.
She was a young woman, Bud. That
I'll do it. I'm the host of the show. She was a young woman, Bud.
That had a neural event.
She was a young... I'll do it. She was a young woman, you know, that had a
neural event.
A neural event. Yeah.
And it caused confusion in her thinking and speech.
And it caused confusion in her thinking and speech.
Good thing you were here, Miss Gray. Help me out with that.
Anyway, thank you, Margaret.
You're welcome.
Ted Bell is not allowed on this program until he apologizes to me for calling me an idiot. Me. He can say anything he wants. I've allowed every kind of abomination under the sun onto these airwaves. I've allowed people to say things that no other radio show would allow. I've allowed Ted Bell especially, and you, Margaret, if you must know, to behave in ways that are just one step above the animal, the barnyard animal.
And what, pray tell, have I done?
Vomiting right here on the floor multiple times, vomiting in the bathroom without closing the door, using the toilet without closing the door, excuse me for saying, releasing or breaking wind here in the studio while we are working, and then getting up and leaving and saying, oh, it's natural, and basically doing those things and thinking that it doesn't make for an uncomfortable work environment. Yes, you, Margaret, you've done all of that.
I won't threaten you with a high heel because I know that you think I'm kidding. I'll just let it happen. And when it does, you won't believe it's happening even while it's happening.
Okay.
And you're laughing. Oh.
It sounded kind of funny.
Well, it sounded funny to me, too.
You know, Margaret, it's pretty amusing to think of Ted Bell wandering in here after a long night of work with his eye socket bleeding and broken and his eyeball missing after you jammed a high heel into it and he didn't notice it. You know?
Well, I don't know about Ted. Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't. I asked you a simple question. What would you do if you saw him wander in here and all he had pouring out of his right or left eye was eyeball fluid and blood? And
will you come on, please? 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What do you got?
Hold on. Yeah, okay. Mr. Bell, did you say you're sorry?
Yeah?
All right, Phil, look, you know you're right. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call you an idiot. That was dirty pool, that was wrong of me. I didn't mean to call you an idiot, all right? But I don't take back the prayer, the fervent prayer, to whatever God you worship. As you know, I'm an atheist, but I'm not an atheist that's hostile to the notion of God. I'm open to the idea of God, and that's why I said, if Jesus, you know, I don't care, but I would believe in God. I would believe in God if you would understand what it is I'm saying.
I don't know what you don't think I understand. I'm hearing you, and you're saying that Obama's presidency is not affecting you.
No. That's not that. It's not that. It is the idea. Well, now I forget, you know.
Well, so do I. And this is what this is a proof positive that when you are focusing on, you know, insulting somebody, as you were.
And you were focused on being insulted.
Yeah, but you see, Ted, you made it about how what an idiot I am, and I didn't understand you. Now, let's get back to Quitter, shall we? And we have to take a break.
All right, let me tell you about Quitter.
We have to take a break.
Why do you always do that?
I told you that we got to take a break. We'll be right back with Ted Bell on his new website, Quitter, for all of the business people out there that think Obama being reelected president is going to have a profoundly negative impact and effect on their business. 877-876-7445. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. All right, we're going to try and get into some of the Petraeus stuff a little bit later on in the program, but first...
Beverly Hills, because I got news for you. Good news for everyone coming into Ted's of Beverly Hills. You're making my business so successful, whether or not Obama's president, I don't care, that
we
are going to...
Hold on. We want to put our meat in your mouth.
Every day until Christmas is going to be Christmas, so we're rolling out, Phil, the baked potato tree early. Okay.
All right, so the baked potato tree, which is usually a Christmas thing.
Usually a Christmas thing, right? We're rolling out the baked potato tree. It's going to be rolled out early. And that means you bring the kids in, they pick out their own baked potato at Ted's in Beverly Hills.
Now, what's the big deal with that?
Boy, I'll tell you.
I'm just asked.
Margaret, just, you know.
Well, what's the big deal with a baked potato tree?
It happens to be one of the signature promotions of my company, that's what. What's the big deal with a baked potato tree?
What is the, I don't understand the concept. The children come in.
Oh, you don't understand? You understand what, you know what a potato is, right?
Do I know what a what?
Do you know what a potato is?
Obviously she does, Ted.
No, well, obviously she doesn't.
I don't understand. What is a baked potato tree?
I have baked potatoes hanging on a tree, and the kids pick one off and we cook it. All right? No big thing, no big deal, very easy, no fuss, no muss. But you got to come on, and you got to open your mouth, and you have to turn what has been a 15-year tradition at Ted's of Beverly Hills into a big, fat joke.
I didn't do anything, Ted. I was just asking you what it was.
It's a baked potato tree.
And they're all covered in foil.
Yes, they're all covered in tin foil, which is a, by the way, something that my father started in the mid-70s, covering baked potatoes in foil. He started it, all right? Not you, not any of your friends. He did. And
well, I can tell you that my father was using tin foil on baked potatoes when I was a child in the 60s.
No, he wasn't. No, he was not. Please don't lie. Please don't do that.
All right, Ted, but you know, Ted, this has been a controversy for a long time.
No, it hasn't been a controversy. Only on your show is it a controversy, Phil. Every time I come on your show, there's a controversy about who developed the tin foil or the aluminum foil-covered baked potato. My father did, and we carried on the tradition.
And when did your father originate this?
What am I being interrogated here?
You know something, Ted? If you're going to make a claim that is so absolutely unprovable...
Well, you can't prove that your father was putting foil on a baked potato, can you?
I know that I remember that my father put foil on a baked potato.
Oh, you know, that's not proof at all. It's not proof at all. You can ask my customers that have been coming in since the 70s when my dad owned the restaurant. We've been putting foil on baked potatoes. You ask them. Okay, you ask him.
All right, well, let's get Mavis Leonard on the phone. Robert, your aunt is here, right?
Yeah, I got my aunt calling up. She want to talk to Ted Bell about Romney and about Obama.
Okay, we're going to talk with Mavis Leonard about Romney and about Obama. And Mavis, how are you doing? You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, I'm doing very good, and I want to say hello to Mr. Bell. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, ma'am.
I want to ask you a question.
Have you ever been to my restaurant?
I've never ever in my life have I ever been in your restaurant. No, sir, I have not. No, sir, I have not.
All right, I just was wondering if you'd ever been in my restaurant, if you'd remembered my father, Ray Bell, who started Ted's of Beverly Hills, and...
Why did he call it Ted?
Because that was his partner.
He didn't name it after you?
No, he did not. He didn't want me associated with the restaurant at all because my father didn't think that I was his son. My father believed that I was actually the son of another business partner of his.
So your father thought your mother gave birth to you by way of another man?
That's just... You see, I didn't want to...
Ted, I didn't know any of this.
I didn't want any of that to come out. I'm sorry.
Ask enough questions, and you got me to say that the guy's, my father's name is Ray.
I thought you were Ted Jr.
That's what I thought.
Well, did I ever say I was Ted Jr.? When I said Ted Jr., I was talking about something else. Now I've got a... God, Henry, how's...
When you were talking about Ted Jr., you were talking about something else.
Yeah. Do you have to spell everything out for the ladies?
Mr. Bell, I don't care. I'm on this phone. I'll call up because I want to make a comment about what you said about Obama.
Okay.
unless you're going to sit there and pout about all this Ray Bell, Ted Bell, and Ted Jr., you know what I'm saying? If you got your mind on Ted Jr., I'd just as soon hang the phone up.
My mind is not on Ted Jr., no.
Well, who is Ted Jr.? Is that you?
You might say, yeah.
All right, will you get off of that, Ted Jr.? Your father's name is Ray. You just let the cat out of the bag that you are, that he thought that you were the illegitimate son of another man, correct?
Yes, correct.
But you are indeed your father's son.
Yes.
Your mother must have felt real good about your father's suspicions.
Do we have to talk about this? The lady called up and she wanted to...
Mr. Henry, why don't we just move on? I'd like to talk to Mr. Bell about Obama. Now,
I'm fine with that.
Now, Ted, you said that you are a successful businessman, and you said, now, you know, I voted for Romney.
All right, that's your right, your constitutional right.
That's exactly right, my constitutional right. But it is not my constitutional right to have a man elected president of the United States that I want to be president. That's not my constitutional right. And now I'm stuck 4 more years of this chump change Obama.
But you call him chump change.
Hold on. My husband, God rest his soul, Robert's uncle, he owns 3 BP stations in Southgate, California in the 1970s. He had 3. Now, I know BP right now is barely a company because they flood out the Gulf with all that oil. But my husband had 3 BP stations. They're very successful stations.
All right, ma'am.
Tonight, Barack Obama is going to ruin BP. He's going to take them out. He has taken out BP. He destroyed them.
Are you kidding? BP had a big oil spill.
I don't care they had an oil spill. My husband owned 3 gas stations, and Barack Obama is responsible to take them out. I think Barack Obama is the worst president we ever had. And
Wait. BP did it to themselves, okay? BP did it to themselves.
Well, then BP didn't do anything themselves. They had an oil rig blow up in the Gulf of Mexico, and Barack Obama now, he hit them with a felony on manslaughter, all kind of fine. He tried to make BP look like a horse's ass backing out of a barn, and all they did was try to get more oil on American people. My husband had 3 BP stations. He was very successful. We had a lot of money. You understand me? We had a lot of money. Guess who president was?
I don't know.
Jimmy Carter. Now, he's about the worst you could ever find. So I know you can make money if you got a bad president. But I didn't know you could make money with a president trying to take down a big company like a Barack Obama did at BP. He tried to take them down and hold them. Burn them out and run them off.
Well, ma'am, I don't buy your math. I don't buy your assessment of history. I think British Petroleum did it to themselves. And kudos to your late husband for owning the 3 BP stations. But let me ask you a question. Where are all the BP stations now?
I think Barack Obama got rid of them.
What?
Barack Obama got rid of BP stations. My husband alive today.
Well, you know what? Now we have Shell stations.
My husband wouldn't own a Shell station. He wouldn't own a Shell station anymore. He put your meat in his mouth. So you tell him.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
How dare you? How dare you?
I want to put your meat in my mouth. I've never heard anything like that. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch here. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And, you know, I tell you something. If we could do a serious talk show, I mean like a serious, serious talk show, this would be a bad time to do it.
What do you mean?
Because there's so much to talk about and so few places that, I mean, really, you know, you could really get into some serious stuff like that immigration conversation we had. You could really talk to people seriously about it, but there's so much dumb stuff happening out there. I don't know whether or not, I don't know that we're any smarter, you know, but there is a lot of, you know, stuff.
But you didn't have to talk about stuff like the way you do.
Yeah, okay, anyway.
Whatever.
Thank you. All right, let's get to Ted Bell. I'm sorry I brought it up. Ted's with us here from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We're going to talk about a story that I thought was fascinating about a waitress that wants to spit in people's food. Wow. That a Ted?
Hey, listen, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. The baseball season in full swing. We've got lots going on in our prime rib room. Of course, Mom and Dad and Grandma live in that prime rib that we have fresh cooked every Sunday night, slow roasted, all day cooked, baby. That's exactly right here at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
All right, Ted, and welcome to the show. It's been a while since we've had you on for a segment.
Well, we're very happy to be a part of the program, Phil, as usual. And, of course, we are excited about the summer months are here. It's a great place to go with the family and have a steak and enjoy the delicious food here at Ted's of Beverly Hills. And I'll tell you something, our service is second to none. We are absolutely a family-oriented restaurant. It's a place where love to have you bring the family.
All right, the story here, and it's a fascinating story of I think I said it. I think that Facebook is a great place because, if nothing else, it shows us just really how stupid some people are and what they're willing to do to promote that stupidity, although that's not exactly what they're doing.
Hold on. I know the story you're talking about. Do you want to get into it now?
Let me first of all, get everybody else up to speed.
All right.
And then, you know, I want you to give me your opinion on this. Now, listen to this, folks. This is a waitress, in the case of a California Chili's waitress. This is Chili's, Ted. It's not a restaurant that is a high-end steakhouse like yours, but nonetheless, it's a very well-known restaurant here in California. She's just been fired for posting an angry rant on her Facebook page. The incident began when this young woman was stiffed on a tip. She took to Facebook to let off some steam. She said in this rant on her Facebook page, she said, "The next time you tip me $5 on a $138 bill, don't even bother coming in because I'll spit in your food and then in your effing face, you cheap bastards." Now, what did the manager say to all of this? Well, that's where the story gets complex. There's a Reddit thread that exploded with comments overnight in response to the claim that this lady got fired, apparently. She was fired because of these comments, and she, the thinking being that obviously, and you're the restaurateur, so you just tell me where I'm going wrong here, but the thinking being that they don't want somebody there issuing threats like that.
All right, well, I do have an opinion. I understand people's concern. I understand the young lady going public like that and going as forcefully public like that as she could. It's going to cause people concern. You understand, though, Phil, that these waitresses and these waiters, they live on these tips. Now, we do pay minimum wage, but the fact of the matter remains that the tip is what constitutes, this is the lifeblood of any food server. It is as true at our restaurant, which is Ted's of Beverly Hills, which you're right, is a high-end steakhouse, as it is at Chili's, which is one of these mid-level sort of diners or restaurants.
Yeah, it's not unlike a Denny's, right?
Well, I would just say not unlike a Denny's. Chili's probably considers themselves a cut above Denny's. I would, too. Certainly none of them are as high end as ours. But here's my point. These waiters and these waitresses live on these tips. How do you ensure, if you're a waiter or a waitress, how can you ensure that you're going to be tipped properly?
Good service.
Not true. Not always. No. No. See, you just jumped in with good service because you think those are the magic words.
Well, I mean, obviously, there's going to be people.
No, it's not. No, good service does not guarantee you a good tip. Good service is good service, and you can provide the best possible. I've got people that work for me, Phil, that have been with me for the last 10 years. They're food servers. They work in our lounge. They're fantastic people, and I will keep them on for as long as they want to be here. And I know there have been nights that they have absolutely been stiff, like you wouldn't believe, like. I can tell you this right now, I saw a very well-known Hollywood actor, and I'm not going to give any names out here. I can give you initials.
Ted, you don't want to get yourself in trouble.
Well, BP, that's the only thing I'm going to say.
The first name.
Don't even go there. All right, so it's a well-known Hollywood actor.
All right, well-known Hollywood actor who came in and dropped probably about five bills on the entire dinner. Well, $600, I think it was. Came to $600. They got a bottle of very expensive champagne. And I want to tell you this. The tip on that, and this is a conservative, the tip on that should be around $120, $130, maybe $100.50 if you really. And he left a $50 tip. So, and this was one of my best servers. I put her on that table knowing that I wanted everything to be great. And we had actually two, three servers on that table. We had a captain over there. We had it all going on. All right. Now, she gets stiff. So what does she have to ensure that that won't happen again?
Well, she got stiff.
Hold on. What does she have to ensure that won't happen again? You don't want anybody to say, I'm going to spit in your food. You don't want any server to say that. And yet, the average customer to any restaurant should be aware that the risk is real. And
what does that mean, I should be aware that the risk is real?
You've heard enough about it. You've heard people talking about it. You got this young lady on Facebook. You've seen, you know that some of these people are going to do something which we it's a proactive, if you want to call it that. It is insurance.
No, I don't know. You're talking about actually spitting in the food. You're talking about actually defiling or defouling the food in some way.
I didn't say that. What I said was, how do you ensure that you're going to be tipped?
All right, let me ask you this. Here was one of your best servers. Here was a guy with a lot of money. He came in, he stiffed her. Why wasn't he worried about her messing with his food?
I'll tell you what, because this guy was a movie star, and he thought that his... You know what doesn't smell. He thought he was better than that. And
so what is he supposed to think now when he comes in the next time that it's going to be...
Well, I don't know that an individual like that is ever really going to get the message. I think with someone like that, you have to be very clear. Now, I don't recommend that my food servers come up to someone and say, if you don't tip me well, I'm going to spit in your food. I mean, that's what this girl did on Facebook. I would fire her just as this company did. And yet I understand if there's a way that they can communicate that. Some people need to be reminded. And look at Phil, I don't endorse it.
Well, you're sort of walking a line here. You're sort of saying you don't endorse it, but at the same time, you understand.
No, I'm not doing any of that, Phil. I'm telling you that I simply know I know how these waiters and waitresses... Look, I started out as a food server when my father owned this place, all right? And believe me, it was the most disgusting period of my life. I spent 2 years as a working as a bartender and as a food server here at Ted's, and I can tell you this, and I'm not trying to be trivial, and I'm not trying to be funny. If there had been a pistol available to me at that time, I probably would have taken my own life. And
good. But this was when you were what?
When I just told you, when I was a food server. My father ran the restaurant. If I had found a gun somewhere, I would have blown my brains out. That's how vile and foul the experience was. And
what made it that way?
Just dealing with the customers. Dealing with the customers. Dealing with the food. The food, the customers, the combination of all of it made me want to vomit. And cheap? You don't even know what cheap is. So when I took over the restaurant, I said, well, I want these people to be treated better. And I will tell you, Phil, that I don't want to see anyone spit in the food, but when our cocktail waitresses or our food servers are serving a table and they want to somehow get the message across, and a lot of them do it in different ways, they can cough a little bit, they can mention that they've got a cold, something...
So in other words, something that delivers the threat that some of that fluid is going to get into the food of the people, and that, I got to tell you something, I don't know how you could countenance that for a minute.
I am telling you, Phil, I know they're going to do it. I don't want them to do it. I know, but this is an unwritten code among waiters and waitresses. You don't understand. Have you ever been a food server?
No, I haven't.
Well, why doesn't that surprise me? I don't think you understand.
I've never been a food server. People in my family have. But they have, and I've never heard any of them say that this is insurance, the threat of spitting into someone's food to make sure that they get to make sure that they get a good tip. Our number is 877. Hold on, Ted.
There's a lot more.
Hold on. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to talk to Ted Bell some more about this woman who went on her Facebook page and threatened to spit in people's food if they didn't tip her better. And this is a kind of insurance as far as Ted Bell is concerned. You don't want to encourage it. You don't want to see it. You don't want your people talking about it. You would rather never have to deal with it. But it is a kind of insurance for food servers to get a good tip. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We are here open every night. That's one thing people ask. Are you open 7 days a week? No, we are not. We're open 5 days a week. We're closed Monday and Tuesday. But it feels like it's 7 days a week sometimes, Phil, as hard as we work here at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Well, that I like that. Now, that's a good advertising slogan.
What?
You should say, we're not open 7 days a week, but it feels like we are. That's how hard we work.
Well, I got to tell you, it's true. We work very hard to make sure that people enjoy the food and the service here at Ted's of Beverly Hills. And
all right, so if I'm a customer of yours, Ted, and I'm coming into your restaurant, and a waitress of yours is taking my order, and somehow she is going to give me the message that if you don't tip me well, Mr. Hendry, I could spit in your food, and she's doing that by what, coughing?
Well, no, Phil, look, the reality is these waiters and waitresses work very hard. What? How do you ensure they're going to get a good tip?
You give good service.
And you know as well as I do, good service doesn't mean you're going to get a good tip any more, Phil, than being a good person in life means that people are going to treat you well. It just doesn't work out that way. So I say to my servers, you know what? I don't want to know. I don't want you doing anything, but I don't want to know. And so we hold the line. We will not. We don't want anybody doing anything, you know, bad.
But you don't want to know.
But you don't understand.
So, but I'm getting back to my question.
All right.
If I am sitting there and I'm about to order a steak and your waitress comes over or your waiter, whoever the food server is, and they say to me, Mr. Henry, what's your order? And I say, boom, boom. And now how are they letting me know that they may spit in my food if I don't give them a good tip?
I don't know. That's up to them.
You gave examples.
Well, I mean, I know that they will. Some of them will cough and make comment that they had a chest cold. Something that gives an indication. And I know, Phil, that it's nothing that I think you should be proud of. I don't think any food server should be proud of it. But it's something that indicates that they're going to have to cough and maybe fluid.
You listening to yourself?
What does that mean?
What it means is you are tacitly approving of someone spitting in food to ensure...
No, I did not say that. I didn't. I said I am aware of the fact that they will indicate to the customer that they have got the ability or the willingness to... What's the term that the kids used to use? Hawk one up, okay?
Into my food.
I didn't say that they would.
Well, what I'm hearing here, Ted, is a guy who is, you know, you're really riding the fence on this.
In what way?
Well, in this way. You're saying to me, I don't approve of it, I don't like it, it's a reality, but these food servers, they work really hard, and how are they going to ensure that they get good tips? And it isn't good service, as I said to you, good service doesn't ensure tips. And by the way, I agree with that.
Oh, well, you agree with it now. All right, you're agreeing with it now that you've had a chance to think about it. See, I have to think on my feet with my job.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, I do agree with that.
Yeah, you agree with it now. So where does that leave the food server? They need to be able to send the message very clearly, if I don't get a good tip, then your food you know, is going to change somehow, or there will be an effect on it.
How are you going to ensure, how do you know whether you're going to get a good tip before you get the tip?
Well, first of all, you don't. That's why you send the message.
But I mean, how do you know that your message hasn't been sent?
Oh, there's plenty of ways of knowing whether you're going to get a good tip or not. Because first of all, you can go ahead and recognize certain cues in the person's behavior. Are they making eye contact? Are they complimenting you? Is the wife or any of the kids, if there are children or there is a wife there, are any of them making eye contact? Are they rude? Are they, in other words, sending the message very clearly, we won't be tipping you, or it won't be a very big tip?
You know, I've been known to tip really well, and I don't even say a word to the food server other than thank you very much, and do you want anything? No, I don't want anything else. That's it. That's all I say, and I'm involved in conversation.
Oh, you've been known, huh? Well, Mr. Henry, I'm sorry, we aren't all money bags. You know, and
I'm not trying to say that. I'm saying that I have been in restaurants where I haven't made eye contact or I haven't talked to the waiter at all.
And you think you left a good tip?
I know I left a good tip.
What do you leave?
I leave 20%.
All right. You know, cue the crickets. I don't. What do you want me to say to that?
Are you trying to tell me that's a cheap tip?
I'm saying it's a beginning. Are you trying? You think that 20%, Phil, at one time was a good tip.
Are you trying to tell me that 20% is not the standard?
At one time, the standard was 15%. You remember that?
Yes, I do. I remember when it was 10%.
Well, guess what? Times are changing. So when you say to me that you leave 20%, I have to tell you, and I tell anybody in your audience that's listening, oh, boy, I don't know where to begin. That's not even going to – that won't cut it. That's just not going to – 20%'s good, but it's not going to cut it. So how do you let people know you want a good tip? You have to do things. You cough, you say excuse me, and you cough into a handkerchief, or you say excuse me, and you spit into a napkin, and when people look at you shocked, as they will, you say to them, I'm sorry, but I have a chest cold. I'm sorry, but I have a sinus infection. I had one of our servers who was, I thought, very resourceful, and they never did anything. They never spit in food, but they used to say, I'm sorry. But I hope I don't have mono, or I hope I don't have, you know.
So in other words, you're just scaring the living hell out of the people at the table.
You're not. You're sending a message, Phil, and you're hopefully the message is going to be this, that I am expecting a really good tip, and I am hopeful that you like the service that I'm providing you. But, you know, right now I feel like I've got pneumonia coming on. Anything that will send that message.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number, and it would surprise you, Ted, we'll be right back with Ted Bell. I've never, ever had a food server do that. I've never had anybody serving food coughing into a handkerchief or hocking up into a napkin or spitting anything like that. I've never had anyone like that serving me my dinner or any other meal at any kind of a restaurant, so... This must be a recent thing. We're talking about a woman, a food server at Chili's restaurant in California, who was so upset with a lousy tip that she went on her Facebook page and she went on a rant saying, the next time you tip me, you know, lousy, I'm going to spit in your food. She was fired, and obviously it did create a little bit of controversy there on the site and other places like Reddit, but she was canned, and in my opinion, good move. 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
of Beverly Hills is sponsoring this portion of the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and I want people to understand that when you come to Ted's, your food is treated as if I'm serving it to my own family. And we're talking theoretically here.
Exactly. But you are also talking about your waitresses and your food servers at your restaurant.
But I don't want anybody, if the message is getting out there that when you come to Ted's of Beverly Hills, you are going to be coming into a restaurant where the waiters and the waitresses do not take absolute care of the food that they're about to serve you, and if the message is otherwise getting out that at my restaurant, people are, as you put it, Phil, defiling or defouling the, you know, I don't think you can defile food because you defile something that is a religious, symbol, and I like the food at our restaurant.
No, I understand. I might have used the wrong word.
All right, but the point is, I can assure you, I don't know anything about anybody doing anything to food at our restaurant. Now, you want me to say to you, absolutely no, the waiters and waitresses don't spit into your food? There isn't a restaurant owner in America that can make that claim. And,
oh, you got to be kidding me, Ted. That's not a very good way of promoting your business.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Henry. I think I'm capable of promoting my own business.
But, I mean, are you trying to say to me that this is just a standard thing that is going to happen?
I didn't say standard. I said if you want me to come out and say no waiter or waitress at Ted's of Beverly Hills or any restaurant in America has ever... the kids use the word, I don't know, hawked one up or...
You don't have to say hawked one up.
Well, you know, I can't make that claim. I it's impossible, but I will tell you this. I don't know of it. I'm telling you right now. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to see it. I sure as hell don't want to have a meal served to me that somebody did that in. Unless, of course, I had made them angry, or I had, for instance, if I had said I'm going to cut your pay or I'm going to fire you right after your shift, then I fully expect that they would do something. And generally, my after-work meal, I always order up one of our steaks, probably a baseball steak, and I have a Caesar salad. And if I had fired someone and I said, but you can stay on to the end of your shift, and, oh, yeah, go get me some dinner, are you kidding? I would expect that they would do something in the food.
And would you eat it?
But I would have to. If I ordered it, yes.
So you're going to willingly eat the meal? Boy, I tell you.
Well, you do not understand my business, and I don't think you understand very well how difficult it is for a lot of these young servers.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let me get to a phone call here on the line. Linda, go ahead, Linda. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell.
Hi. I waitress, and I would have never thought of doing that. I wasn't paid well. I wasn't tipped well. And I think that the thing on tipping with being, if you give good service, you get a tip.
Right.
Times have changed. My sister-in-law worked at a restaurant, and there was a mandatory gratuity.
Just beep in a Derek. Okay.
Okay. And she didn't know that she was going to be taxed on that mandatory gratuity, even though the customers in a small town in Alaska where we are, they don't tip. It's just not understood in a lot of areas. It's hard enough when you go out like we did today for a hamburger, a club sandwich, and a Reuben and paid $82. And,
all right.
60 was the meal, and the 20 was the tip, because my husband tips 20%. But he's a rarity.
Well, 20% on a $60 tab is $12, I hate to tell you, but
well,
okay.
He was more generous than that.
That's very generous of him, very generous.
But not everybody can afford it or can do that, but there are some restaurants that report the gratuity, whether the waitress or the server gets it or not. Because
Did you say you were a food server one time? All right. Now, I just want to say this. This is Ted Bell, okay? I own Ted's of Beverly Hills. I realize it's Alaska, but I will tell you this, that I don't know why they don't tip in Alaska, because I would think that Alaska would be a wonderful place to begin to tell the customer, hey, look, I work very hard. And,
not in rural Alaska. Maybe you're in Anchorage or Fairbanks or Juneau, but you go into a small community of 300 to 900 people, you're not going to get that.
Well, I don't know why you say that, because if you look at I don't know, but I'm gonna be really stupid now and say, if I go to a restaurant in a 300-person community in Alaska and I look at that waitress, I'll bet you anything, she's not a bathing beauty, and the threat of her doing something in my food, you better believe I'm going to tip.
I
don't mean to be funny.
That's the new standard.
I'm just being stupid. Well, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, I guess it will make me really think, and a lot of people really think, about the restaurant business and maybe kind of change a lot of habits. And that's not good for the restaurant business.
No, I mean,
if I had someone that I even suspected had a cold or a flu, they would not work a shift.
Well, these people have to work. They've got children. A lot of these women are single mothers.
I have family, too, and I've had to work odd jobs and all kinds of things.
But you don't want a waitress going on the job, Ted, and spitting. Do you want her giving this illness to people?
No, I don't, but... what am I going to do? Oh, you stay home because I know you've got children to feed, but guess what? You stay home anyway. If she can go on the job and spit into a napkin and get some guy to cough up, pardon the pun.
If somebody's cold and they work with the airlines and they're a ticket agent, they don't go to work.
You know what? Can I say something to you, ma'am? I've worked around a lot of entertainers. You sound exactly like Bea Benaderet, who was an old voiceover actor. She did the voice of Betty Rubble on the Flintstones. Have you ever thought about going into that work?
No, you would
be fantastic.
I'm retired. I'm going to be 64 years old this year, and I've worked multiple jobs, but I have never worked in any voiceover.
And I can tell you, if you get into the voiceover business, one thing you won't have to do is say, I'm going to spit into your food unless because there's... You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's great. But here's the thing.
I wouldn't have
waitress.
To do that anyway. I have worked multiple jobs and multiple professions. Yeah. And
I don't know about it. But
all kinds of
I just don't want to. If you worked for me, Linda, I would say, you go ahead. You go, girl. You're great. And if you want to go ahead and fire, and I hate to say this, but the kids call it a nostril rocket. Is that what they call it?
Are you serious?
What?
Are you serious about that, man? You're going to have people do that into people's food?
No, I did not say I'd have that.
But you're saying you'd look the other way.
I'm going to say this.
God.
If I can interrupt you, gentlemen.
Go ahead, Linda. Go ahead.
Okay.
What am I supposed to do?
Ted, what you're supposed to do is look out for your customer. Your customer, if one customer finds out that one person actually did that, you would not have.
That's the end of business. Linda, hang on the line here for a minute. I'm going to bring another customer restaurant. The guy, is this Lloyd?
Yes, sir.
Lloyd, you're on with not only Ted Bell, but Linda.
Linda, how are you? This is Lloyd Bonafide.
Hi.
Hi. Bill, this man, Mr. Bell, I have eaten in restaurants my entire life. I'm a Korean War veteran. My wife and I enjoy going out to dinner. I take family members out to dinner. And I will make no bones about it. If a food server I suspected had spit or what have you in my food, I'd pick that. I would tear that place apart. And what is that supposed to mean, sir? I mean I would tear your place apart. I'd start with the bar. I'd work my way into your dining room. And by the time I was done, you'd have no restaurant left. It would be garbage.
Well, that's the anger of the situation. But
exactly.
With all of the viral diseases around, what's the difference in somebody who may have some kind of connection in their disease and somebody who has AIDS spitting in the food? It is a death threat.
I'm not particularly concerned with getting a disease because at my age, I've got nothing left.
What are you talking about?
I understand that, dear. But at my age, I want to go out like the tail of a comet. I want to go out with a fiery. In other words, you'd want to rip my restaurant apart. If you've got people firing nostril rockets or whatever it was that you said, you better believe it, sir. And trust me when I tell you. By the time Lloyd Bonafide walked out the front door of your restaurant, what would be behind me would be smoldering, glowing, and there'd be no roof.
Good God. Wow.
What is, Bill, I just heard a terrorist threat on your radio show against my restaurant.
No, it was not. The man...
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I'm not a terrorist either.
No. The man was saying he was so angry at what would... I would be that angry, too. Linda, thank you. You're very kind for pointing out those things to us here on our show tonight. Thank you.
Okay.
877. Thank you, dear. 877-876. Phil is our number.
You see what I'm saying, Mr. Henry? No, I want to say something, Phil. I've been sitting here listening for the last few minutes.
Go ahead.
All right. I have been listening to people saying to me that my policy that built Ted's of Beverly Hills. And let me tell you something, my friend. I built this place brick by brick, board by board, nail by nail. And that's how I'll take it apart, too.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on.
I built this place, I'm going to say it again, brick by brick, board by board, nail by nail. If you think I'm going to endanger my business by allowing food servers to come in with every kind of disease, some of which could be, let's be honest, some of it could be the sexual diseases that you get on toilet seats. I don't know if that's true or not. You don't get sexual diseases on toilet seats. God! Hold on for a minute, sir, and I'm getting advice on STDs from who? I'm a Korean War veteran. Okay, you got me there.
Hold on for a minute. We got to take a break here. 877-876-PHIL. I'm taking advice on STDs from who? I'm a Korean War veteran. Okay, you got me there. Anyway, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. And we're talking about waiters and waitresses, one of whom was on her Facebook page saying that she would spit in people's food if she's ever stiffed a tip again. And she was fired. Fired by the Chili's restaurant chain here in California. World famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Absolute nerve you have of saying that to me.
Gentlemen, if you come to Ted's of Beverly Hills, it will be the greatest dining experience of your life. Everywhere you go, there is the threat that a waiter is going to do something to your food, is all I'm saying.
All right. Well, that I don't know is true.
I'm a restaurateur. You can have your opinion. I know you're a customer, and you're entitled to your opinion, but I can tell you that I do everything that I can. I do everything in my power to make sure that our food servers don't spit in the food. But let me ask you a question. How do I ensure that they don't do that?
I can tell you how you ensure it. Every step of the way, you have eyes on those food servers. Every step of, and you hire people to take pride in their work, and they're not slobs, and they're not low-class scum, and they take great pride. You have a high-end restaurant.
Wait a minute. I don't need to be lectured on how to... I asked you a simple question.
You have a high-end restaurant. I would think that servers in a nice restaurant like that are proud to work there, are happy to work there, and are proud of the food they serve. You know, and
if they don't get tipped, if they're only making minimum wage, and they come into this so-called high-end restaurant, and they're getting stiffed morning, noon, and night, and they walk out of there with about as much money as they had walking in, and they don't know how they're going to eat from one day to the next, they don't know whether they're going to have socks to wear with those shoes, are they driving to work, are they hitchhiking to work? What am I going to do then if I got food servers that are hitchhiking in with shoes and no socks, no underwear? You know, in other words, Phil, it...
Boy, I got to tell you something, man. Then you need to pay your people better.
Oh, my God. Didn't I just tell you that it's the tip is...
I can't imagine any restaurant that's so-called high-end like yours and people are getting stiffed morning, noon, and night on tips.
Well, my friend, you just haven't been... Well, you just don't...
I mean, to the volume that you've got people that are not... living properly. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Ryan. Go ahead, Ryan. You're on the Phil Henry Show here with Ted Bell.
Hi, I was just going to say, I mean, if I walked into a restaurant
And my family and I sat down to order, and I even got the slightest inclination that this person was threatening to spit in my food, or they were sick and they were coughing and spitting into napkins in front of me, I would talk to a manager and I would have that person removed from my table and had somebody else brought over. And if that didn't take care of the situation, then I would leave and I would call the Better Business Bureau, because that is absolutely uncalled for.
I agree with that. What do you say, Ted?
Well, I don't blame the gentleman. I wouldn't want him fearing that someone's going to tamper with his food, but I don't think it's as easy as just noticing that someone is spitting into a handkerchief. I mean, there are a lot of different indications they're going to give you. What if they simply say, boy, it's hot today, and they absentmindedly wipe an armpit?
Yeah, but the point is, they're sending a message to this man, right?
Well, I mean, they're basically...
That's ridiculous.
Sir, you know, if you tip well, then you
have nothing to do
that.
With it. If I get good service, I will give a good tip. If I don't, I'll give them 10%.
Well, that,
and that
I understand
nothing
that.
To do and with whether they're going to spit in my food or not, because you're going to tip off of what the server does.
Well, that
bottom
is
line.
In theory, yes, in theory, but you would be surprised.
No,
I've got,
legit.
As I said,
that's
I've got
the bottom
I've,
line.
Well, maybe with you, but I have to say, I have
and
no
every other American.
Sir, I have to tell you, no, that's not true. You can serve you can do the greatest job as a food server, and sometimes you get a lousy tip or no tip at all. That's just the way people are.
Yeah, there's
now,
always
you're a good
be a
man.
Douchebag
I
out there, but
yes,
for the majority
all right,
of Americans.
And so how do you change
so you're
that?
You're going to take out the frustrations off of somebody that did not tip right. You're going to spit in people's food that would tip right?
No.
How do you expect
no,
to tip from
no,
them?
No, no. I do not want them to do that. What I can't do anything about,
condoning.
And that I don't.
You're saying,
I don't necessarily.
Oh, well, happen, so
well,
I'm just going to let it happen.
I'm
you're
simply
condoning.
Saying this. I'm saying
telling
that a food
right
server
now,
ought to be
never
allowed the freedom
in a restaurant because
the food
it sounds
server
like you
be...
run a great shift there. Let me tell you.
No, you're misunderstanding. The food server should be allowed to send whatever message they want to send. And
yeah, but if they're sending the message in your restaurant that watch out, pal, because I may spit in your food.
Well, how do you know?
You just got done saying they're going to wipe their...
If your server were to send any kind of message, they're going to spit in my wife's food, you better believe it. I would get up and I would lay them on their back because I'm not going to put up with that. And then I would come to you, and if you didn't take care of that situation, you'd be finding yourself picking yourself up off the floor because I'm not going to put up with it.
Sir,
if I had to go to jail over it, I don't care.
Sir, the only way that you would get any indication that someone would spit in your wife's food, that would have to be one of our male servers, and the way they telegraph that is they look down their shirt as if it's too hot, you know? And
wait a minute, you're giving this guy the signals?
I've seen, yeah, male servers.
So
he
probably teaches this stuff in his restaurant.
No, I do not. I'm just telling you, I'm
but
aware
you read the
of
book
what
on
it is.
It, right?
No, sir. I'm aware of what food... Food servers are going to live the lives they're going to live. They are their own people. They party together. They, you know those people. I mean, they're young.
No, I don't.
And they do their thing.
Right?
Well, they're very young people, and they like to make sure they get tipped well. Sometimes they go to the.
This is absurd.
My male servers will put their hand down their pants or down their shirt or something like that.
I'm not going to have a food server at my table putting his hand down his pants.
Do that around my
table.
I dare you.
That's what I'm saying, the signal. If you want to know what the signals are, I'm giving them to you. If he's going to spit in your kid's food, the hand goes in the pan.
Phil, I can't believe you even had this.
Oh, come on, man. Why would you? Hey, Ted, you've got a restaurant. You do a really good business. Why would you talk this way?
I'm trying to let the guy know. God, I can't do anything right. I try to tell you what's up.
Obviously.
You guys are mad at me. I don't. You don't. You know.
So, in other words, if a guy sticks his hand down his pants while he is taking my order, he will spit in my kid's food.
If you don't tip.
No, if he
and
puts
if he
his
looks
hand
down
his pants in front of my kids, in front of my wife, he's a dead man.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's up to you. But I'm just saying, that's him saying to
so
you.
You're telling me that your male servers are over there putting their hands down their pants in front of customers?
No, sir.
What,
no.
Are you doing,
I'm
hiring
saying,
a bunch of pervs?
No, I am not, sir. I'm saying that the signal generally, if they're going to spit into the kids' food, is they make like they're going down into their pants. They don't put their hand down in their pants.
What in the world?
You know
world?
Something? It's a bizarre.
Is he living
bizarre,
in America? Is he on planet Earth?
Yes, sir. Beverly Hills, California. That's about as much
as
planet as well.
All right, listen, thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Appreciate everybody's call. It's our News and Information Hour coming up next. Lots to cover. Thank you, Ted.
Yeah, whatever. That's another wasted night. Now people are going to come into my restaurant just to see the food servers and stick their hands down their pants and go, hey, there it is. You know?
Well, it could be worth a little tourist money.
On second thought.
Phil Hendry.